Well, good morning, Grace Fellowship Church. This is Eric Byram, one of the pastoral elders here at Grace Fellowship, and I'm going to be speaking today about Romans 5, 12 through 21. I hope you have been able to join us. We're continuing to do these Facebook Live sermons as the coronavirus has halted some of the meetings and such that public groups are able to do. So, just like to start us off today. We've had a warm spring-like weather this past week, even the first official day of spring. And with the coming of spring comes the prospect of yard work. And I remember when I was younger, my dad would often task me as the youngest with the job of trimming the volunteers out of the yard. And volunteers were the trees that had grown from seeds that had fallen the previous fall. And these would often grow in unwanted places, and if we let them go, they would turn into trees. And so my job was often to cut these out of the bushes that were in the yard. And we had a few thorn bushes, and it was always quite a pain to, you know, get down into those bushes and get poked by the thorns and trying to figure out which root was which trunk was a tree trunk and which was the bush. So I wouldn't cut the bush down, but actually cut the volunteer in the bush. But, you know, often I would lop those off and think my job was done. But then later that year or even the next year, maybe sometimes even two or three branches would come out of that stump that I had left and make more work for me because I hadn't really dealt with the root of the problem. The root of the problem was that obviously the root remained and I just was cutting the trunk off and then it would regrow the next year. So up until this point in Romans, Paul has been using this plural word for sin. He's talking, and then suddenly in verse 12 here, or 5, he switches to the singular word for sin. So before this, he was talking about the fruits of sin, but now he's talking about the root. Up until this point, the subject has been the products of the old nature or the sin nature. But from this point on, it is the sin nature itself. Up until this point, he's been talking about people operating in the flesh. From this point on, he talks about the flesh that's in us. So just like I hadn't dealt with the root of the tree, if we don't get at the root of the sin problem, we'll just continue to deal with the fruit and having it keep come back. So in Romans 5, 12 through 21, Paul begins to unpack this idea of how the gospel deals with the root of sin in us, that we can begin to see freedom from the root of sin. And one way I would summarize this section is by saying, recognize the problem of sin and the solution of grace. Recognize the problem of sin and the solution of grace. So I'm going to read for us if you want to follow along in your Bible. I'm going to read for us this passage, Romans 5, 12 through 21 from the English Standard Version. I'll give you a second to turn to that. All right, let me begin. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin, indeed, was in the world before the law was given. But sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if because of one man's trespass death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, So by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. All right, so let's unpack this idea of this, recognizing the problem of sin and the solution of grace. This breaks into 3 points. First is recognize the problem of sin. Second, recognize the comparison. And then finally, recognize the solution of grace. So let's look first at the number one, recognize the problem of sin. That's verses 12 through 14 here. So in recognizing the problem of sin, we see that in verses 12 through 14, Paul brings us back to the Genesis 3 story of the fall of the garden, fall in the garden, and of Adam's role in that. Our root in Adam and what he did causes the rest of the sin problem. God had told Adam and Eve not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but they had listened to the serpent, who questioned whether God really was holding back on them. So this idea, this sin of deciding for ourselves what is good and evil, in a sense, seeking to be like God and be our own God, is the root of all other sin. So what Paul's getting at here is that we're all in the same boat because of Adam. We all have inherited that sin nature, which rebels against God, tries to do our own thing. An example is, as I was reading this first part of Romans 5, in verse 12, it felt like it could be taken from today's headlines. It sounds a lot like a virus. It says, sin came into the world through one man, patient zero, and spread to all other men, and death spread to the whole human race as a result. So sin is the ultimate contagion. As we've been just contemplating washing our hands and staying away from this virus, we see here, you know, he's saying that sin came into the world through one person, death through that, and it spread to everyone else. So many times people wonder why the world is so bad. It's interesting how you'll hear this, and sometimes we often will agree with it, that people say everybody's basically good. And yet then they wonder, why do bad things happen? What Paul's saying is, no, we're not all basically good. We are all created in God's image, and at times that goodness will shine through. But everyone has a sin nature, and this is the doctrine that we often hear of total depravity. And it sounds kind of hard because it makes you think, like, depraved mind, we think of someone that's crazy or that's really evil, or, you know, like that everyone knows they're bad. And so we often will compare ourselves saying, I'm not that bad. And so the idea of total depravity doesn't mean that you can't ever do a good thing. But it means that it's, in a sense, like all of us have the virus. Not a single person's free of it. And the symptoms may vary from person to person, but we all have the problem. And so there's this idea that no one is righteous, not one. Everyone is a victim of sin. And that comes from Adam. And that's why Paul can say in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. He goes on even to say here that sin existed before the law was given to Moses. It was just that the law allowed sin to be called sin. So the result of sin before law was still death, because sin at its core, it's leaving God and trying to do it on our own. So it naturally brings death. It's sort of like a tree branch that's cut off from the tree trying to survive without the sap from the tree. It will eventually die. So sin brings a natural consequence of death, because we're leaving the source of life, which is God. And that source, that relationship is broken. So secondly, we see here we must recognize the comparison, not only the problem, but the comparison, verses 15 through 17. And I would even say on to the end of the chapter, we see this comparison of sin versus grace, sin versus the free gift. And there's various synonyms used for sin. We see sin, trespass, transgression, disobedience. We see for grace, free gift, and grace and obedience and that sort of thing. So they're contrasted the whole rest of this chapter. So in verse 15, we see though this phrase, how much more? And when does Paul use that phrase, how much more? He uses it when he's talking about grace. So he says, this is what sin does. How much more does grace provide a solution? How much more? And he's comparing the two. So in fact, there really is no comparison. From our perspective, sin seems unbeatable and such a large and looming problem both in ourselves and in this world. But from God's perspective, grace wins every time. And I'm reminded of the song by Matthew West. It's called Grace Wins. And I think I put that in a post here in the Facebook page earlier this week, or you could look that up on YouTube or some other source. And I would encourage you to listen to that song in light of what Romans 5, 12 through 21 says. It's very powerful. In this section, we see the reality of sin, the result of sin, and the reign of sin. So those nicely all are ours. So the reality of sin is shown in verse 15. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by that grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for the many. So we see the reality of sin is death. The reality of sin is death. Death has been introduced to life. And the result of sin is judgment and condemnation is brought upon us. And the reign of sin is that death reigns, ends up reigning in our lives, our current lives, before death actually comes. So let me unpack this a little bit. Sin has produced the ultimate reality of death in the world. We were created for life, but sin separated us from the source of life, God. And thus death is the final outcome. And then in verse 18, we see the result. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. And in verse 16, and the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin, for judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. So the result of sin is condemnation or judgment and judgment. Justice demands that sin be punished. So the punishment for sin is separation from God. And C.S. Lewis, I believe, said that hell is God finally giving us what we've been asking for. Think about that. We've been, through our sin, telling God to leave us alone, and hell is him finally doing that. Condemnation and judgment are the fruit of sin. And finally, in verse 17, we see that sin allows death to reign in life. Look at that. For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? So we see a comparison here once again of what is reigning. Is death reigning or is grace reigning? So how does death reign? Well, what it means is that death now, rather than being just a final outcome, overshadows all we do. There is the fear of death. There is the death of relationships from sin and the brokenness that is occurring all over because of sin. There is the death of true peace and joy. And there's the death of relationship with God. Sin breaks our fellowship with God. Sin casts a pallor over all of life. That's what it means to have death reign over life. What's interesting is that for each of these, Paul compares how grace is a reality despite sin. He compares how grace is a result of what Christ has done. He compares how grace is reigning because of Christ as well. So it's like there's two roads that are being compared here, and one is so much better than the other. One is the road of destruction, and one is the road of life. And Jesus spoke of this when he talked about the broad road and the narrow road, the road that many travel and the road that few travel. Christ has become the fork in the road. Everyone is on the broad road, but everyone is now presented with the fork in the road, which is Christ. We can take the road less traveled. Robert Frost, in one of his poems, is quoted often this. He says this: two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. Christ is the less traveled road to life that we also desperately need. So we've looked at this idea of recognizing the problem and the comparison. Now let's look at the final point: recognize the solution of grace, verses 18 through 21. We see here that the final portion of this passage from 18 to 21, that it begins with a therefore. And we always want to ask ourselves, when we see a therefore, what is it there for? So in light of the problem and the comparison, there is a solution. This is the tough part of the argument. In order for grace to apply to all, condemnation has to also apply to all. For if it was possible for some to be saved by the law, then not all could be saved by grace. Here's where it gets tough. A lot of us want to believe that we really aren't that bad a person. We really don't want to think that we deserve condemnation. We think that others worse than us deserve it. Condemnations for murderers, for Hitler, for those who are in jail, whatever it is, we would say. But it's not for us, so we think. What this portion shows us is that we are all in the same boat. That's the bad news. The good news is that because we are all in the same boat, we can switch boats. We've been given a new root in Christ. We can be grafted into a new tree and not have the root of our sinful nature reigning over us. So I love the last verse of this passage. It reads this: so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's so much in this verse. We all know the pallor that sin casts upon life as a whole, but here we see the difference grace can cast over all of life. When we view life from the perspective of God's grace, it leads to righteousness. Now, what is righteousness? Righteousness is being right in relationship. Okay, relationship with God, his creation, and relationship with others. We get Christ's right relationship with God when we ask him to be our Lord and Savior, and we accept what he has done for us on the cross and through the resurrection. So in a sense, that is transferred to us. That's what we've seen, some big terms like propitiation and justification here in Romans, and that is what it's talking about. So rather than brokenness, we can be about mending and healing. We get Christ's right relationship, and it paves the way for all the rest of us. Though we still walk in a world where death is reigning right now, we know that a time is coming and is already breaking through when life will reign and will swallow up death. We can devote our lives to this and let it reign over all we do. So, in conclusion, the question for you and I today is, what is reigning in our lives? Think about that. What is reigning in our lives? Is death reigning, or is life? This really leads to a deeper question: who is reigning in our lives? Is it ourselves, which leads to death, or is it Jesus Christ, which leads to life? Are we still doing the Adam thing and trying to decide for ourselves what is good and evil, and to be our own God and our own truth? Or have we given the authority over to Jesus and let him be God, let him be the truth, the way, and the life, and allowed him to run our lives and to be our salvation? That is the question. So in closing, I have included with this some questions for you to consider with your circle church or with whoever you're with today to talk over what we've just looked at. Because my hope isn't that you just listen to this and say, okay, that was all right, and go on your way. But the real goal is for us to listen to God's word, let it show us what we are like a mirror, and then comb our hair, adjust what needs to be adjusted because of what we've seen. So if we've seen today that, wow, I have not made Jesus my Lord or my Savior, I have not taken him in the path less traveled, then we can change that. We can say, God, I do want you to reign. I don't want to be in charge of my life anymore. I want you to be in charge. So let's pray, and I'll close this in prayer. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much that you are the source of life, that you have provided the solution to the universal problem all humans in this whole universe faces. Lord, help us to allow you to be Lord, to make you Lord of our lives today, to not continue to try to reign and do our thing, our Adam, sinful, selfish thing. We acknowledge that you are Lord, and we want you to reign over every aspect of our lives. And we thank you that because of that, how much more because of that, when we put our roots deep down into your grace, can we reign in life through you. And we thank you so much in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, hope you have a great day. Thank you for listening, and enjoy your time with Circle Church, and check out our worship as well. If that's on here, we had some worship leaders leading some worship this morning. So take care.